Here's a wild stat for you. Job seekers who reach out directly to hiring managers are 2 times more likely to land interviews. We've seen it over and over and over with our coaching clients. But most people either skip cold outreach because it feels awkward, time-consuming, or like, what the hell do I even say? Or worse, they don't skip it, but they do it wrong and make a bad impression. That's why I put together our interview-getting email templates with over 15 email and LinkedIn message templates, follow-up emails, AI prompts for quick customization, and a super, super simple strategy to help you book more interviews, all within minutes. You can grab them right now at carlyagar.com/emails, or just click the link in today's show notes. But do it fast, because these won't be available much longer. You are listening to the Customer Success Career Coach. Today's episode is a little different because I'm not just going to share interview tips. I'm actually going to pull back the curtain on exactly how interviewers score your answers. So we're going to dive deep into the scorecard system that every interviewer uses, why your vague answers could be killing your chances of getting an offer, and how to take an interview answer from okay to excellent. If you've ever walked out of an interview feeling great only to get rejected later, this episode will show you exactly what went wrong. What if the only thing standing between you and your next big career milestone is just a strategy you haven't heard yet? I'm Carly Agar, customer success veteran, award-winning career coach, and your go-to for getting hired and promoted in customer success. Whether you're breaking into the field or ready to level up into leadership, this podcast is your shortcut to real career growth. Every episode is packed with practical takeaways, data-backed strategies, and zero fluff advice that actually works, so you can start making moves towards your goals immediately. If you're ready to take control of your career, well then, you're in the right place. Welcome to the Customer Success Career Coach Podcast. Welcome back to another episode of the Customer Success Career Coach. If you're new to the show, hi, I'm Carly. I'm a career coach for job seekers in customer success. If you're not new, thank you for coming back week after week. You know, I appreciate you endlessly. Today, we're talking about something most candidates never actually get to see, which is what's happening on the other side of an interview. And that is specifically the interview scorecard. When I was a customer success enablement manager, I literally created these scorecards for every CSM role that we were filling. And I realized recently in conversation with a couple of job seekers that most people never get to see interview scorecards or even learn how they're made. It's kind of this elusive thing. We all know that they exist, but we've never actually seen them or built them or really had any intimate look at the behind the scenes. And I think that understanding what's happening on the other side of the interview gives you a huge advantage as a candidate because you can just better anticipate exactly what the interviewer wants you to say or what they're listening for. So I'm going to explain exactly how interview scoring typically works. And then I'm going to take you through a bunch of examples. We'll see how many we get through. I want to keep this short to like 15 minutes. So we'll see how many examples we get through, but essentially walking you through interview answers, transforming them from an okay answer to something that is excellent so that you can see how it ranks on the scorecard system. And by the end of this, you'll have so many tips and tricks and examples to then go back and audit your own interview answers and make sure that they are high scoring answers. So let's jump right in. Let's talk about the scorecard itself. If you don't already know this, every company uses some version of an interview scorecard in order to rank candidates. It's really nothing fancy. It's nothing too complex. Essentially, what they're doing is they are listening to what you're saying throughout the interview. And for different skills or responsibilities, proficiency areas, whatever you want to call it, for each individual one, they're either ranking you a strong no or a strong yes. And in between strong no and strong yes is a no, a neutral, and a yes. So if we're going from like worst to best, it would basically be strong no, no, neutral, yes, strong yes. Think of it like this. The worst answer would get you negative 2 points. The best answer would get you positive 2 points. And what a lot of folks don't realize is what specifically determines your score, especially when we're talking about the difference between a score that gets you 0 points and a score that gets you plus 2 points. It's really tiny little nuances that make the difference in those points. And what a lot of people don't realize is it's specificity in your answers that typically get you more points. What I mean by that is I could interview 3 CSM candidates tomorrow, and I guarantee they'll all have some sort of answer for me on how they drive adoption within their books of business. But one of them is probably going to give me a super vague answer as to how they drive adoption. Another one will probably give me a couple of details. And then there is going to be one that's going to get super tactical. They're going to lay out for me their exact process, their strategy, how they think about this. And that's going to be the person that gets plus 2 points. So the specificity of your answer is really everything, especially in a job market like today's, where every little tiny thing you say can seriously make or break you getting the job offer. And I know that sounds so dramatic, but it's just true. There is so much good talent on the market right now that every time you open your mouth, you're either getting ahead of another candidate or you're falling behind another candidate. So if you take nothing else from this episode, let it be that a vague answer in an interview is bad. That is going to get you 0 points, or it's going to make you lose points. Details equal points. That's what we are aiming for. Now let's run through a couple of examples. So I'm going to start with something that pretty much every CS interviewer is looking for is, are you competent at turning around at-risk customers? Can you take an account that is unhappy, unhealthy, and turn them into a green, happy, renewing customer? So I'm going to run you through the evolution of a talk track around turning at-risk customers into happy customers, starting with an interview talk track that is just okay, to all the way up to one that is excellent and is going to score you bonus points. Starting with the okay talk track. If you were to say something like this, oh, I have an example of this. A client stopped responding to my emails, so I followed up a few times and then eventually was able to get a call on the calendar. On that call, we just chatted through their concerns, figured out, you know, why they weren't super happy, and then we put a plan in place for them to get more value out of the product. And they seemed really, really grateful. They seemed so much happier after that conversation. The reason that is just an okay answer is it's incredibly vague. You've given no data. You've not really given me any context. I don't know why the client was unhappy. I don't know what that plan was that you put together. You said that they seemed happier, but how? It doesn't really show a lot of strategy or initiative. In fact, I would say this is the bare minimum. I would hope that as a CSM, you would get on a call with a customer that's unhappy. At the very least. And there's no like impact at the end. You didn't really give me a strong result. So I would say that that is probably on a scorecard 0. I don't think you would lose points for that, but I'm certainly not giving you extra points for that. Let's look at a slightly better version where you might gain 1 point. I noticed a dip in usage from one of my accounts, and when I reached out, they mentioned that the product just wasn't meeting their expectations. So what I did was I ran a discovery call. That way I could dig deeper into their goals, what they were looking for, what was working, what was not working, and then worked with our product and support teams to set up like a super custom training plan. Their engagement did ultimately improve. They ended up attending a QBR the next quarter, which was great for momentum, and we ended up aligning on a new success plan. Okay, so what's better about this one is it shows that you're a little bit more proactive. You did talk about noticing a dip in usage and then taking action. So I feel a little bit better about that. It does include some more tangible action steps like hosting a discovery call, having a QBR, a custom training plan, tapping on cross-functional teams. So that's a little bit more specific. That's better. What's still missing, though, is I feel like I'm missing a lot of context. Why weren't they happy? Why did you feel like the training plan was the way to turn this account around? When you say their engagement improved, specifically, what did that look like? Can you give me a tangible result, a number, a metric? So it's okay. It's all right. I would probably score this a 1. It's certainly better than the first example. Now let's look at what a +2 answer might sound like. I noticed that one of my strategic accounts' usage had dropped 60% quarter over quarter. Also, their champion had gone silent, and there had been a couple of monthly check-in calls where certain executives that typically join those calls just didn't show up. So I immediately escalated this to the exec sponsor within the account and had this reset conversation with him. On that call, I revisited his goals. And the good news was we were still aligned to his goals. Those really hadn't changed. He was still working towards the same measurable outcomes we had already agreed upon. But what he did say was that they hadn't done the best job of managing change on their end. And so they had all these internal processes they expected employees to follow, but our product just wasn't plugged into those workflows in the context of their documentation and how they were training employees to do these things. So what I did was essentially create this entirely new change management plan in partnership with that exec and a couple of champions, all on different teams. And by the next quarter, that usage had rebounded. They were back at their normal levels. So we were no longer seeing that 60% drop. And what's more is we also saw a huge NPS increase, which was kind of a nice secondary outcome of this. The account NPS actually went from a 7 to a 9. And then fast forward a couple of months later, we ended up securing their next year's renewal 90 days before their expiration date. So there you have it. Why is this answer so much better than the other two? Number one, I gave a lot of context up front. I really set the stakes. I said their usage had dropped 60%. Their champion had gone silent. They stopped coming to calls. This really, really created a picture of why this account was at risk. On top of that, I also talked a lot about very specific things that I took note of, things I observed, things I was looking for, things I was paying attention to. And that all made me sound not only more proactive, but much more strategic. It showed a lot more about how I think about turning accounts around and all the different things I'm considering, as opposed to just, oh yeah, we had this call, we made a plan, and they were happy. I also had a much better outcome where I was able to share very specific numbers to actually prove that what I did turned this account around. So is that the perfect interview answer? No, there's still things, honestly, thinking about some of the stuff I said, I'm like, it's actually not perfect. But the whole point of this was just to show you how specificity, giving context, giving details, allowing the interviewer to really understand how you think and how you approach things and the steps you take is oftentimes the difference between an interview talk track that is going to gain you 2 points, gain you 0 points and just be net even, or unfortunately make you lose 2 points. So what I want you to do is, now that you've heard this example, and I keep talking about specificity, what I want you to do before your next interview is, I already know you have the Google Docs, the Notion pages, the notes apps with all your interview talk tracks written down. I've seen them. I know you have them. I want you to go into those notes and pick just three of your go-to interview stories, the ones that you find yourself telling in every single interview. Run through them from a different lens. Instead of just saying, oh, is this a good story? Does it have structure? Does it have a beginning, middle, and end? I want you to only look at these stories from the lens of, if I was going to rank this story, if I was going to give myself -2 points, 0 points, or +2 points, what would I give myself? And then I want you to ask yourself, what would a +2 talk track on this specific thing sound like? What do I imagine the candidate who is giving the most perfect talk track, who is giving all the specificity, what do I imagine they're saying? And then steal some of that and work that into your talk track. I'm not saying you have to completely redo your talk tracks, but look at them from a different angle, and that way you will be able to improve them. If this episode made you realize that your interview answers might be leaving points on the table, that's actually really good news because we can fix that and it's extremely easy. My team and I have helped over now 900 customer success professionals land their ideal roles by teaching them exactly how to speak to what hiring managers are really looking for. So if you want help turning your resume or your interview answers or all of the above into a high scoring picture of what you bring to the table, just go to carlyagar.com/apply to see if you're a good fit for our private coaching program. Thanks for listening, and I'll catch you in the next episode. That's it for today's episode. Thanks so much for tuning in. If you love today's episode, or if you want to continue the conversation, come hang out with me on LinkedIn. Connect with me, follow me, or message me over there. I'm at linkedin.com/in/Carly-Agar. And if you haven't already, don't forget to follow the show wherever you listen to your podcast so you don't miss any future episodes. I'll catch you next time.